and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene. Hello, hello.
Cozy edition. I see we've both brought out the comfy sweaters.
That's true.
It's a little cold here, but I think it's very cold there. Are you still in your winter snap?
Yes, it's very, very okay. Cold. I actually right now have my feet on a little hot water bottle filled with boiling water, which has been my go-to thing every day, like especially when I get up in the morning, which it is morning right now. The house is very cold because we haven't had any heat on overnight. So I have to get up, turn on the fireplace, turn on our little heaters, and then I just put my feet on my toasty little hot water bottle and I just sit there until I get warm.
Defrost. Yeah. Just slowly defrost into the morning.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, it's Monday right now, but on Friday when I had to go to work, it was the first day of this really cold snap where it's been like negative 12 degrees Celsius, but feels like negative 25 because of the wind chill. And going to work that day, like, it was so cold inside that I was wearing two coats. Like, everyone was wearing toques and little, like, hand warmers and things because the building that I work in just, like, is huge and couldn't keep up with the coldness. And it was rough, man. I was like, you know how it's hard to type when your fingers are really cold? I don't know if you often have to deal with that, but trying to type.
I know what you mean.
With really cold fingers. I was like, I just felt like I was moving in slow motion all day long.
Yeah.
And I got nothing done. So, yeah, it's nice to be at home, though, with my little hot water bottle. Because at least my toes are warm.
I think that's so beautiful to imagine. You sent me photos throughout the day of you being super cold in your office. Yeah. And I was like, I actually didn't understand. I thought, like, the heating in the building had broken. Because negative 12 is definitely cold. I'm not going to pretend that. Yeah. It's very, very cold.
It's very cold.
But, like, I'm used to Canada getting to negative 12 pretty commonly.
Yeah.
And you were like, Ariel, I live in a rainforest. This doesn't usually happen. And I was like, you're so right. Like, I think when people picture Canada, they do just picture, like, the Arctic for the entire country, and like most of it landmass wise, most of it is frozen tundra all year round, but people, like, very, very few people, like a couple thousand people, live up there. Most people live, it's like a really interesting fact, it's like most people live within a couple of miles from the US border because it's so cold any much northern. But to your point, you live in a rainforest, like BC, that part of why people love, like, Vancouver Island and the Vancouver zone is the giant trees, and all of that's because you're in, like, this rainforest bubble. So you're I was like, instantly I was like, yeah, you're right, you guys wouldn't be used to it going that cold.
No, and I've lived, like, here my whole life, I've never had to experience extreme cold. And
because that's the other thing, you've lived in that same place, so you're really used to one thing. When I lived in Ottawa, that was the coldest, snowiest place I've ever lived. I also lived in Calgary, and my mom, like, I was born in Calgary, and my mom talks about how cold Calgary was, but I was a baby, so I don't think that counts at all. But Ottawa was for sure the coldest place I've ever lived. Like, two or three times a year it would be negative 40.
I hate that.
Isn't that insane? Like, when you think
disgusting.
About it, why did people settle there? I don't understand at all why everyone was like, let's make this the capital and really establish everything from this base.
Yeah.
I'm like, you could have gone more south. That's fine. Anyways.
That was Canada. The weather corner.
That was the weather corner, as we love to do. What else is going on over there, really? And any interesting, juicy updates? I'm currently being blasted by the sun. I don't know if you can tell. I'm, like, squinting.
I can kind of see it, yeah.
I should close my curtain.
That's funny. I mean, no, nothing too interesting has been happening over here. It's beautiful outside. Like, I'm sure it's really cold, but it looks really nice. It's nice and bright. But it's still, I think, too cold for me to personally want to roller skate outside. Like, I could.
Yes.
I definitely could do it. But I'm like, is that what I want? Do I want to be skating in harsh environments? Maybe not. So I've just been staying inside, staying cozy. I've watched a lot of movies and a lot of TV. And I've been crocheting. Okay. I've been making seasonal headpieces for my parties that I'm going to have with friends.
Incredible.
Just
incredible.
You know, fun stuff. I'm trying to enjoy winter while it's still here, because we always want it to be over. I feel that way about summer as well, because, like, this is just, it's too cold, too bleak, and I want it to be gone. But I'm trying to embrace the seasons as they come. And
I love that.
Yeah. So we're not rushing towards spring. Let's enjoy the winter as much as we can. There's not really anything to do, though, because there's no snow. I can't go play in the snow. So
that is too bad. Tough. Yeah.
I'm just trying to be cozy. That's all I got.
Yeah. No, it's super true, though. I last year, throughout the whole year, to my personal Patreon, not the Books Unbound Patreon, but to my personal Patreon, I was every season was doing a voice message.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was like, okay, spring is here. Here are the activities I want to do that are spring-like.
Oh, that's
and,
cute.
Like, lean in. Because I think you're right. Every season has its, negatives, mm-hmm. for sure. But they also all have some positive. Like, you can find something that's unique or special or nice about mm-hmm. every season. And leaning in, why wouldn't you? Like, you and I are going to live through another 60 years of winter. Like, we may as well make it good, because that's it. It's happening,
that's
right?
That's true.
You're totally right. I, update-wise, I've got some good news.
Yeah, you've had some things happen.
I've had a couple of events go down. The main one, the one that I want to talk to you all about, is very exciting. Mm. I believe. And I don't want to confirm it yet, because just imagine if something goes wrong. But I believe I have the bookmobile.
Oh my gosh.
I know, this is ridiculous, but it's all happening so fast. So basically, this idea is not a new idea. I've been dreaming about this bookmobile for a while, and a couple of months ago, in October time actually, I started looking. Mm. I'd been fantasizing about it for long enough that I started actually looking for trucks.
Yeah, okay.
What do I know about trucks? Not much, but I just started looking. And so I found this mini truck that was perfect. Well, it felt perfect. It was at a decent price point. It didn't seem to have too many kilometers on mm-hmm. it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I messaged the guy. And I had a really nice conversation with him. He was really nice, very friendly. And I felt really good about it. And then I was like, let me get back to you tomorrow. I spent the night thinking. And I was like, no. I cannot afford this right now. I have to wait until the new year so that I get my salary, whatever, I get paid during Christmas time, see myself through to the end of the year, move into January. That's when I will know if I can actually afford this or not. Mm-hmm. I need to look at my tax situation. I don't want to jump the gun is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I basically said that to him. I was like, the truth is, I've realized I can't afford this right now. I need to wait. I'm so sorry. Thank you for all the information. Because he genuinely had been so friendly and kind. Mm-hmm. I just was very grateful to him. And he was like, hey, listen, that's totally no problem. And I bet you the truck will still be here. Because it's a very weird little truck not many people want.
Yeah, true.
So just make sure to check when in a couple months you want to look again. Mm-hmm. Okay, so fast forward to a couple weeks ago, I announced on the podcast that I'm building a bookmobile, and I'm like, wow, I better get that rolling.
Yeah.
Because I think I talked about this on the goals episode, I want to be using the bookmobile in the summertime. That's when it's going to be the most fun.
You can't start doing it in the summertime.
No, exactly. I can't just buy the truck in June and then have 3 months of building the shelves and getting the permits and doing all the correct things, getting the stock and doing the merch and all of that. And then I'm ready in September and then it starts snowing in October. can't do that. So I was like, oh God, I just got to start now. So I actually had a meeting with my accountant. I took this very seriously. So I went to my accountant for other reasons as well, just to because of all my tax being complicated because I'm self-employed. But I go and I had a meeting with him where I just wanted to ask him a bunch of questions of things that I had. And then I literally I think it's just so funny that I keep pitching it like this to everyone. I was looking at my list and I was like, okay, my next question, basically, I have a dream. And he went, oh, okay.
Not what you expect to hear.
And I was like, I want to build a bookmobile. And he was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I'm glad you think so, Mr. Accountant Man. I want to build a bookmobile and I want to buy it. And I want to make sure that you agree with me that I have the funds and that this is all going to line up correctly.
Yeah.
And we looked at it and he was like, buy it. Do it. I was like, okay. woohoo! So I messaged the guy back and I said, hello, I'm back. I'm so glad you haven't sold it. And he said, yeah, I haven't been able to sell it. He's like, I've had moderate interest. Like one or two people a week have messaged him about it. But people kept trying to trade stuff for it. Isn't that so funny? He's like, I got a guy who wanted to give me two snowmobiles. And I had a guy who wanted to give me a tractor. And I'm like, I don't want that. He's like, I want money. I was like, yeah, you're selling That's a car.
People are so crazy on like Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. They'll do anything.
They're so bold.
I know.
And I was like, well, I would like to give you cash. And he's like, let's do it. And it just kind of felt nice for both of us, I think, because he knew all the interest that I had in it originally in October. And I had told him like my plan was to convert it to a bookmobile. So he knew my little dream.
Yeah.
He knew what I was excited about. And so I think he'd gotten a little invested.
Yeah, he's like, I need to make sure to sell it to her.
Yeah. And so I went and saw it. And I went with CJ, who edits the podcast, and he filmed some really lovely footage of me. I'm not going to share it in this episode until I want to make sure everything's good. But eventually I'm going to be making a video about it. So I'm going to have some cool footage of like the whole experience of buying the truck and stuff. But I went and saw it. We turned it on. It's so cute. It's so cute. I wasn't able to test drive it that day, partly because I got shy and I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
And partly because he had it parked behind two other cars. But anyways, I was okay with that. I went home. I thought about it and I felt really good about it. So I messaged him and I was like, yeah, I want to do this. Let's do it. And I was like, the only thing is, I really do trust you. I don't think you're trying to con me, but I think I would be an idiot if I didn't do a test drive.
Yeah.
Would it be okay if I came around and did a test drive? And he was like, of course, like, no problem. He's like, I'm not trying to con you, but like, we can totally do a little test drive up and down the street. And so I wasn't able to make it because I don't live in Halifax and the truck is in Halifax. And so I sent my brother. So CJ went CJ's training for a 10K, which is, I mean, CJ's doing a lot of cool things over in his life too. But he was like, okay, wait, this is perfect. I'll run to his place and back because it was 10K.
Oh my God, what?
So he ran to the mini truck. He did a test drive of the mini truck. He gave the guy my deposit payment and then he ran back home.
That's so funny. I'll just run over there, literally.
It's so epic. And so he did that. So the deposit payment is in.
It's happening.
He has sent me the photo of the registration of the vehicle, which, like, you are never supposed to reveal to anyone unless you're selling them a car. So this is what I mean. Like, it seems like it's happening.
Yeah.
But I don't actually have the truck in my backyard or anything yet. So. Right. It's happening. It's happening.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited. And so basically today and tomorrow I have some admin to do. I need to get the rest of the money, prepared. I need to get the insurance or proof of insurance or something. And I need to get a temporary permit. So those are license plates that last 30 days just so that I can drive it home, because it will actually take longer to get the actual registration and everything done for it. But I need to legally be able to drive it from his house to my house. So all of that has to happen in the next few days. And then I'm going to go and drive it home.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. This is exciting for a few reasons, because I've never bought a used vehicle from a person. So you going through this will be like, it's informational for me in case that ever happens to me. I like know what to do. But it's so exciting because in my head, this wasn't going to happen until like the end of the year, if at all. You know what I mean? Like, this is a goal. It's a dream that might not have come true. What if you didn't find a truck? Like, as simple as that.
Lots of things could go wrong. Yeah. Like, what if the permit department is like, no.
Yeah, so
my friend was like, amazing. If they say that, could you make it a charity? And I was like, maybe. Like, there's ways around everything. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I can figure it out. Yeah. I will figure it out.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
But yeah, I've had a lot of people sending in questions and stuff, and I'm definitely going to keep answering. This is one of the great sagas of this year, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep answering stuff and stuff, but I also do want to kind of emphasize that I'm just trying to take it one step at a time. Like, some people have been asking questions about, like, what kind of books are you going to stock? Where are you going to get your books from? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's level 10. You're at level 1 right now. Acquire the truck.
Get the truck. Episode 1, get the truck. Episode 2, figure out the legality of everything. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have to get the license plates and, like...
Yeah, there's so many steps between now and having Brooks on the truck.
Exactly. So, the fun stuff will come. And, I mean, this is already fun. But, yeah, the idea of me driving a Japanese mini truck down the highway...
And it's right-hand drive, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
It's going to be so goofy. The whole thing is so goofy. I really, really love the idea of me in a mini truck. It just seems right.
It makes sense. It actually does. It's what you should have been driving this whole time. Screw the
it's
Jeep.
True. Why did I buy a Jeep? That's so silly. You know what's crazy too, Raylene? Right. This is kind of an aside, but whatever. We're talking about cars. This is my second Jeep. So I bought a Jeep. That was also a secondhand vehicle when I bought my first Jeep. It was a 1997 Jeep Sport Wrangler, if anyone cares, two-door, and I bought it for $4,000, and it was in terrible condition, but it lasted me for 4 years, and then, as my mechanic said, an important part of the car disintegrated.
Oh! That's not ideal.
I was like, how much is it to fix it? He's like... It has disintegrated. I was like, whoa.
It's not happening.
You sell this thing for parts. I was like, this is so sad. I was so sad. I kept the car key. I kept the fuel key. I kept a couple of things because I really loved that Jeep. But anyways, I then bought my second Jeep, as you know. Mm-hmm. My Jeep is from BC. I bought it when I lived there. And that car, in a couple months, turns 5 years old. Well, like, aww. To me, I've had it for 5 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long. I feel like it still feels like a new car to me. It's a 2014. I also bought that car used. I've never bought a new car in my life. But I did lease that. Like, not lease it. Whatever. It's financed. Mm. I pay monthly payments on it. But that also ends at the end. It was a five-year term. So it ends this year. And I'm like, so now I'm just going to own... I'm starting a fleet of a vehicle.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah, what are you going to do now? Get a boat?
Yeah. A boat. Okay. I mean, we laugh. But for a very long time, like before the bookmobile idea, I wanted to do a book boat. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's so funny how insane my brain is and how you guys know I'm a little wacky, but you don't know how deep it goes.
There are so many ideas that you would never tell us about.
Exactly. That's
you
what
just
I'm
were
say,
willing
yeah.
to tell us book boat. So who knows what's going on back there?
I was willing to tell you book
there.
Boat. And you know what? I'm not even throwing that out as a I'll never do it. But basically, I was like, Nova Scotia, books, boat.
I once went to a boat restaurant. Like, I was with my family. We were on a boat for some reason. And we were just in a place with a huge lake. And they were like, oh, yeah, there's a restaurant in the middle of the lake. You just have to, boat to it. And so we went there. And I was like, this is crazy.
This is what I'm talking about, right? Like, in London, there's a very famous bookshop called Word on the Water at King's Cross. And they have, a massive system of canals in England and in London. And all these, rivers are connected by all these canals. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that live full-time on the canals in canal boats. And there is a canal boat that has been converted into a bookshop. And it's, permanently parked next to King's Cross.
Yeah.
And it's a boat, though. So, when you're on it, you're in a boat. And it's
so
a beautiful
cool.
bookshop, but it's a boat. And so I was like, Nova Scotia. Like, I could park a boat
That's
somewhere.
True.
People come in and out of this bookshop. And then, I'm still not done with this idea. It's in the back of my mind. I'm like, it's not as good of an idea for now as a bookmobile, but bookboat still seems pretty
fun. So I feel like you'd have to dedicate all your time to the bookboat. Like, you would become a bookseller. That would be who you are.
Exactly.
You'd have to.
And
you'd
whereas
have to.
The bookmobile, I can park and move on. Whereas the bookboat seemed a lot more excessive. Imagine being my boyfriend. Poor Connor. I'm constantly like, Connor, what if I had a book boat? And he's like, oh. Imagine how excited when he was like, wait, no, what if I do a bookmobile? And he's like, yes, please, God.
Just, next step, just a normal bookstore.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so that's the big update on the bookmobile for now. But the other fun update is Animal Farm related. Yeah, that's right. My favorite book. So, In 2022, we launched a project on our Patreon.
Yes.
Which was audiobooks. Raylene did an audiobook of The Great Gatsby, and I started the audiobook of Animal Farm. Raylene unlocked something I did not unlock.
I had the secret.
She just realized yesterday why everything fell apart for me. And she was like, why did you do it that way? I'm like, I didn't know you were doing it in such a better way. But basically, we were releasing one chapter a month on the Patreon. And Raylene, clever Raylene, recorded it all in once. Well, like over a couple of days.
Yeah, like two or three days, it was done.
In one big effort, you recorded all of it, and then you just released the chapters 1 week after, or 1 month after another. Whereas I didn't know that's what Raylene was doing. I was recording one chapter a month. So I recorded in January, I recorded chapter one and released it. In February, chapter two, and released and I think I got three or four chapters in. And as you can imagine, fell apart.
Yeah.
I would like fall behind. I'd forget it on 1 month. And then the next month I was like, oh God, I have two to do that now. And when do I fit that in? And three to do now. And I just like totally fell off the bandwagon. And I've been trying to catch up ever since. Like it's we're in constant mentioning about
it. Yeah, like, it's been top of mind for a very long time.
Yeah. We were like, Ariel, you need to finish this. And I'm like, I agree. I'm so stressed about it. And I just kept not figuring out how to do it. And it was a big frustration. Finally, I sat down and I re-recorded the whole thing. Mm. And I will say I've probably read the first three chapters of this book out loud for you guys like four or five times.
Yeah.
Like, I kept doing it because I wanted to get it really right. And then I'd like fall off and it'd been like 4 months. I'm like, okay, I need to redo it because now those files won't match these files.
Yeah.
And I got a new microphone and blah, blah, blah. All of that to say, it is done.
It's done.
I'm so proud of it. I think it's really, really cool. So CJ had made some theme music for the Great Gatsby audiobook
and for
the Animal Farm audiobook. And he sent me like six different tunes he sent a couple over to you as well when the Gatsby happened.
He put it together. I didn't even touch music.
Oh, okay. Because I remember he sent me them. So there was like three or four different Gatsby options.
Oh, nice.
And with me, he sent me like four or five different Animal Farm options to sort of be like, which one do you want, what matches what you want. I ended up using all of them in between the different chapters, and so depending on how a chapter would end, I would be like, oh, I'm gonna use this one that he did that was like sounds kind of military, or I'd use this other one that sounds kind of really sad, and so there's it's fully scored.
That's so cool. It's like a professional
chapters book. It is. It's like, I'm so proud of it. The music is so, so cool, and I really tried to like narrate. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm reading this book to you guys, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. I didn't go so far as to like really do voices, but I kind of right on the edge of doing voices. Also, in chapter 9, I break down crying.
Whoa, dramatic.
It was so dramatic, and I felt so silly. Like, I got kind of embarrassed and I stopped recording partway through chapter 9 and then I finished it the next day because I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, you just got to restart this chapter. This is so silly. But then the next day I go back and I listen to it and I was like, no, it's just really honest.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's so devastating. And I would go upstairs to Connor and I was so upset and I was like, I forgot how sad this book is. He's like, so sad. I'm like surprised. It's my favorite book, but God, it really cemented it. Like, I read it. This is now my 10th or 11th time reading this book. And I wanted to say how it really, and I'm sure you felt this way with The Great Gatsby when you read that out loud, but it really gave a different perspective on the book.
Totally.
Reading it out loud. Reading a whole book out loud is such, I mean, I know that like parents do that pretty regularly. Mm. You are reading a story out loud to your kid. But if you don't have children, very rare that you're reading books out
also
loud.
Also like a full-length novel. Like, that's pretty
totally.
Wild.
Yeah, exactly. And so reading it all out loud and sort of like presenting it and in a way performing it, really, I was like, embodying it in different ways. And that's why I cried, because I've never cried, I don't think, while reading this book. Like, I've read this book so many times. I'm a mega fan of this book. And I don't think I've ever cried, but while I was performing it, and I just gotten so into the characters that I, like I said, I started to cry, and then I had to stop recording for a bit and then finish it the next day. So anyways, it is available now on our Patreon, and there's two options for how you can get it. This is something we're experimenting with, but I'm pretty excited about it. So the first option is to just become a patron. If you become a patron, you automatically get it. But the other option is you can just buy it from our digital store. Patreon has launched digital stores, and it's just a way for you to sell digital files to people that don't want to become patrons for whatever reason. You can just do a one-time purchase of this asset, and so you'll get the files. Well, it's just one long file. It's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's an actual audiobook. I think it's really, really cool. So we're really excited that it's finally out. And thank you to everyone for your grace and patience while I got myself together and finished it. But I'm really proud of it with how it's come out. And we wanted to mention, if you were a patron at the time when the audiobook was originally coming out and you wanted to hear how it ended, just shoot us an email at booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com and just say Animal Farm audiobook in the subject, and we'll send you the file, of course, to catch up with when you should have been able to hear it. So there you go. Hyped on that. But also, that's another book down for my 100 books. And another reread. The era of rereads is here because the life-changing magic of tidying up, as you know, I was reading last week. Another reread. So, and the book I want to read next, I think, is going to be another reread. Oh, so, yeah, we'll keep talking about that in a minute, but enough of me crying about Animal Farm already. How about you, Raylene? What did you read this week?
Well,
anything out loud fully that brought you to tears?
Not yet. Maybe later in the year. Give me time.
Yeah.
So, as we know, last week I was reading this book, Stoner by John Williams, and I have now finished it. John Williams grew up in Wichita Falls, Texas, in the 1920s and 30s. His grandparents were farmers, and his father disappeared mysteriously when he was only 2 years old. Williams dropped out of a junior college after a year because he failed freshman English, which is ironic considering his novel Stoner is all about a farmer who becomes an English professor at university. Williams wrote a total of 4 novels and 2 poetry collections before he passed away in 1994. So, I finished the book. I was pretty close to finishing it last week, and then I spent the next couple of evenings powering through it because I was like, you know what, I'm just kind of ready for this to be over. So this is the story of he starts out as a young man. He's just finishing high school and is just going to go work on his farm with his parents. And then his parents kind of urge him to go to school. They're like, we can't really afford it, but figure it out. Go off to school. It'll be a better experience for you. So he goes and starts learning about agriculture and like soil testing, like stuff like that. He starts learning about like the more educational side of farming. And then he takes one English class and kind of falls in love with it, and then deep dives and becomes obsessed with English literature, and goes on to be a teacher and a professor at the university. And he teaches like super specific, like obscure kind of like medieval literature, like, you know, very specific stuff. And then it just follows his life. So it follows him from being like 18 or whatever until he dies, basically. So it follows his entire life. And he's not a very like extraordinary person. He's just a man living his life, being a teacher. He's married. He has a kid. His marriage is a little weird and like rocky and kind of unfortunate. And you kind of just feel bad for him the whole time, which I didn't like, I guess. Yeah. I just felt like he was a pathetic, sad sack of a person a little bit. And like he put up with a lot that I feel like he shouldn't have put up with. Like his wife was really bad, and he kind of just like lets himself get pushed around a lot. And I was just like, Stoner, be stronger than this. I wanted him to stand up for himself, and he kind of did at one point, but he like, at what cost? You know what I mean? Like, it went so far before he actually like did something. So I don't know. I find it very interesting because people love this book. Like, it's one of those books that almost everyone who reads it is like, yes, best novel in the English literature, like of the English language. You know, it's one of those. And I just didn't really connect with it. So I would love to hear like why people love this so much, if other people have read it. All in all, I thought it was just okay. I'm glad I read it. I read it for a book club. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have finished it. I probably would have been like, whatever, not my thing. But yeah, all in all, glad I read it. If I don't necessarily recommend it, you know, that's fine. So that's all I've read.
Well, that's still an accomplishment, Raylene. And considering all of the decorative head pieces you've made, I think that your balance of life versus reading is going well.
It's true. Although I'm actually a little scared that I might be. I can't really fall behind because my goal is to read less than a certain amount of books. But I do feel like if I want to be on track to read, say, 50 books, I feel like I'm going a little too slow, perhaps. So if you think about it, our reading year started halfway through December. So we're basically a month into our reading and I've read now 2 books. So...
Yeah.
I'm a little scared. Yeah.
When you put it that way, I'm suddenly massively behind.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I think that it's all going to work out.
I think so too.
So maybe let's talk about what we're currently reading.
Sure.
Because that will be fun. There's actually a bit of a controversy with what I'm currently reading. Well, you know about this, Raylene. It's kind of silly. I'm still technically reading The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
It's embarrassing. Last week, you lied to us.
Well, I didn't lie. I admitted that I hadn't finished the book. I told you that I have read it in the past so I can review it. And I still feel confident about all of that. But here's what happened. As I mentioned, I was co-reading it. I had just that day bought it in physical, but I had been reading it on my e-reader. And I was like, I think I only have like 30 pages left.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm reading in an e-reader, I do kind of lose sense of page count because I'm so used to on a physical book that you literally can physically tell I'm halfway, I'm this way or whatever. I really thought I was near the end. Then the other day I picked up the physical version and I was like, okay, where am I? I must be only like on page, like 20, have 20 pages left. I start flipping back. I had like 30% of the book left.
No.
So I don't know if I just saw 30 and was like 30 pages instead of 30%. I don't know guys, but quite frankly, I was wrong. And so I need to finish this week because...
Yeah.
In my head, I was already done it.
It's done. That's really funny.
What's happening? But this is the kind of book that if I just sit down, I know I can just plow through the ending of it. It's just been a super busy week because of the book truck stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was going to be happening in this first week. And Animal Farm. Like, I recorded the whole audio. I redid it this week because I'm dumb. But I re-recorded the whole thing this week.
Yeah.
So I basically read that book and then this went on pause, I think for good reason. But I'm excited to get back to it. Also because I'm like dying to do my closet purge. Like, I'm so excited. Yeah. She's got me hyped.
She does.
To do
she
a closet that. Purge. I'm so excited to do it, but I don't want to do it until I finish the book just because I want to like do it. I just want to respect the fun of the activity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's got her rules and then I'll do it. And I just want to read through her system.
Yeah.
And I'll take and leave what I want. But I'm close to finishing that. So the next thing I will probably want to read is one of these two. Like, I have them sitting near me everywhere I go. I keep taking them with me and like put them on my desk. When we went to Halifax, I took them to Halifax. Like, I really want to read both of these. And I think they would be good choices for what's next. So the first one is What I Talk About When I Talk About Running by Haruki Murakami. This is what I was mentioning about wanting to do another reread.
Yes.
I'm just enjoying, I really enjoyed rereading Animal Farm. I'm really enjoying rereading The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And so I think that it feels like time. But the other thing as well is it's so short.
Yeah, that one is such a quick read. I read that almost in one sitting when I read it.
I think I remember doing a similar thing, like 2 or 3 days, and I got it all done. It's 180 pages, so it's very short, but it also has like a really big font.
Yeah.
So I think I would fly through this, and I've just been wanting to reread it for a really long time. This is a book you and I both talk about a lot.
So good. Yeah.
And the fact that I haven't reread it in a while, I'm like, with books where you talk about them a lot, I mean, most people probably don't talk about books as much as we do because we literally have a show where it's an hour long every week where we have to bring books up over and over. But because of that, it's like an occupational hazard, after 2, 3, 4, 5 years mm-hmm. of recommending a book, I'm like, it's kind of time to reread it. Totally. So that
does it still hold up? Do I still recommend it?
Do I still recommend that? But then the other one that I've been kind of pulling around with me everywhere I go is Letters to Eugene by Hervé Guibert and Eugène Savitskaya. This is a collection of letters that I purchased in New York a couple months ago, and I want to keep my letters thing going. Mm-hmm. I don't want like months to go by and I haven't read another letters book. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it and I just got to keep it up. But yeah, and this one is so short and like the letters are all pretty short.
Give you some momentum. Read something quick like that.
I was just flipping through it and like, I have to read you this letter, really. Okay. It's completely out of context. Sure. It's super short. I don't know what's going on before or after. I haven't read the book.
Okay.
But I just right now was filming the B-roll for this episode and I flipped to a random page and I saw this and I was like, what?
Okay.
Paris, January 10th, 1984.
Okay.
Dear Eugene, ever since you licked my right eye in the dark, it's become purulent under the lid. It runs, it hurts, and I have to rinse it several times a day with Optrex baths to get rid of the pus and to see a bit more clearly. What's wrong with your tongue that it spreads such terrible ills? Hervé.
Whoa.
What?
Friendship did these guys have?
What?
Why do you lick his eye? Why was it dark? What's wrong with his
tongue? Don't lick my eye! Is it a metaphor? Is it a code? Yeah. I don't know!
I'm excited for you to read that and find out if that makes any sense. Like, if there's a good reason and it makes sense and you understand it, I want to hear all about it.
I completely agree, because what the hell was that?
Oh boy.
That's so funny. All right. The other thing is, I don't know if they passed away and then these letters were published or if they published them together or what. So, that will also reveal that. Like, maybe they didn't want anyone to know that they licked each other's eyes.
Yeah, that might not have been for the public to know. You know?
Exactly.
Oh, well, boy. That's okay. Fun. I actually have a question for you about reading. Do you have a plan for when you're going to read your first industrious book of the year?
Yeah, great cue. And I'm glad you asked, because if we don't bring these things up, when will they get read? Huh? I don't currently have a plan. Right now, basically, I'm trying to go with the flow with reading short books and rereads, because I basically want to like have a running start.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like those books might be a little slow because they're in like they're studious, right?
Yeah.
They're studious books. So we'll see about them, but I don't currently have a plan, which I think is a huge mistake. I really should just prioritize them. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I have had it on mind. I was thinking of maybe in February just doing them all in February.
Ooh, yeah.
And just having them as a TBR for the month and like being okay with if I only read those 4 books that month, because obviously I need to be reading 2 books a week to keep up with my 100 books a year goal, but I also need to read those books. And so if in February I just read those 4, it will still be a massive checkbox.
Yeah.
And then I could just read a lot of graphic novels the next few months or something.
Exactly. It's easier to like catch up after the fact than to try and read those when you don't have time to read them. Yeah, 100%. I know. I definitely feel that way. Like last year, I read 11/22/63 in January because it was such a large book. I really wanted to read it.
Such
so I was like,
idea.
I need to do it now to like give myself kind of the leeway to read such a big book. And I've been thinking about that for this year, too. I think I'm going to try and read Anna Karenina by March.
Soon. Okay, yeah. I think that's really smart.
Probably February is when I really want to do it. But at the same, I kind of have the same thing as you. Like, I want to get myself a head start. So I'm like, should I read a couple of really short books to like give myself a few books under my belt so that, because it's probably going to take me all month to read it. I imagine it'll take me a month to read that book. So
have a plan for your 24 books, or are you just kind of sprinkling them
in? Sprinkling them. I am trying to read 2 a month. Like that's my, and Anna Karenina is one of those books. So if I read it, it will be ticking it off. And when I tell you what I'm reading now, it's actually the second book that I'll have read in January off of my list. So Okay. That's a good transition, actually. I'll just tell you what I'm reading now. So I am reading The Nakano Thrift Shop by Hiromi Kawakami. And yes, this actually works for a few goals, because this is one of the 24 books that I told myself I would read this year. It's also one of my lowest rated books. So that is, along with Sweet Bitter, I'm just reading all of my lowest rated books at the beginning of the year, I guess. Which maybe is a good idea, actually. but yeah, I'm 91 pages into this so far. And as the people may know, I've read quite a few of her books so far. Hiromi Kawakami is an author that I have like 7 of her books, I think. I've read maybe 3 of them now. Yeah. So I still have quite a few to go, but I'm trying to like go through her books because I really enjoy her. I would say my favorite so far is probably Strange Weather in Tokyo. And so that's the bar that I'm trying to reach when reading her books. And this one so far is kind of falling short of that, unfortunately. Mm, like I'm not liking it as much. This one is about a young woman who works at a secondhand store that's owned by this old man, Mr. Nakano, who's kind of like this kind of kooky guy. He's just like a strange character, as you would imagine. And she works there with another young man. So it's kind of like the three of them are the people who run this shop. And they like go out and will acquire like large collections of things, either from like estates, or if people are just like, oh, I have a bunch of junk, I need to like, you just take it away for free, I don't care. And so that's kind of like the setup. And what I like about it is that it reminds me of my days working in a used bookstore, like a lot.
Oh, cool.
Like this is very reminiscent of the store I worked at. Like strange older man runs this place. A bunch of young people are kind of like making things run smoothly behind, you know, on the front facing side of things. But like going and like sorting through people's books and like figuring out what's a cool thing to bring into the store. Like that was something I did. And so I do like connect to it in that way. But plot wise, it's kind of like, what's the point so far? I don't know what the point is. Like, is the point a romance? Which it might be, because the main character is kind of romantically interested in someone, and so that's become a thing. Is the focus that the old man who runs the store is like just like has a really weird life? Like, I don't know what the focus is yet. So far it's kind of we'll see.
Right.
It's still early days, but I'm hoping to kind of power through this and then maybe read one more short book before it's time for Anna Karenina. So that is where I'm at. So yeah, it's fine. I wouldn't even really say I'm enjoying it, but I'm not hating it. I'm very solidly in the middle right now. It's just, I'm just existing inside of this book.
I have a question for you.
Oh, please.
Do you ever miss working in a bookshop?
That is a fun question. Yes and no. I am perfectly, like, I have very good reasons why yes and very good reasons why no. So
I'm ready.
I miss it because I used, like, 2 of my best friends who I hang out with all the time, I met at that bookstore. And we would hang out every day, basically, because we worked so together. So I do miss working with my best friends, because that is the best. As you and I know, working together is so fun. We get to talk every week. Now I see those friends a little bit less. I also live in a different city from them now. So, like, I have less reasons to see them, and that sucks. So that part is, like, I do miss that. But there were so many things that were bad about that job, like didn't get paid well, the boss was not a good person, customer service is just shitty in general, and tough. You would think that working in a bookstore is always going to be nice. People who like books are good people. That's not always true, especially... I've dealt with so many strange people with strange problems and strange complaints, and it's like, why are you yelling at me about this? And the added thing of it being used books is that we would buy books from people, and people would get so offended sometimes when we didn't want their books. One time a lady brought in a box of books that literally looked like it had been outside in a rainstorm. Like, the books were wet, they were slimy. We were like, sorry, we can't take these. And she was like, what do you mean? We're like, there's like slime on them. And she was like, how dare you?
Oh my god.
Stuff like that. Like, so many weird stories. So I don't miss customer service at all. My current job, I barely ever have to talk to people, and I love that. Yes, so ideal. Yes and no. Like, it's great being surrounded by books. It's great being able to recommend books to people when they ask for it. Like, it's sort of like real life podcast stuff. Like, some of the things that we get to do would happen face to face with people. But it's not really for me. I'm not a people person. So maybe it's the type of thing that, like, you would probably love it. I'm sure you would love working in a bookstore because you love talking to people. But yeah, for me, it has its positives. But overall, no, I am very glad I don't work in a bookstore anymore.
That's so interesting. And honestly, is exactly what I thought you would say.
There's a reason I stopped working.
There's a reason you left. Exactly.
Some people work in bookstores for their whole lives, and that's great. If that's what you can do,
Here's a question. Yeah. Here's another question, a little follow-up to that. Because I think that this is probably a question that a lot of people have. Yeah. And it is, did you get to read when you worked at the bookshop?
No, of course not.
I didn't think so.
It's funny, actually, because in this book, she works in like this thrift store that's like, if there's no customers, there's nothing to do. And so she'll be reading. Yeah. And I'm like, that makes me so jealous when I hear about people who get to read on the job. No, there's just always something to do. Like, I spent so much time, like, hauling books around, like, moving sections around the store. So I was always, like, either on my feet or helping customers, you know, cleaning off gunk off of books or whatever. Like, there's always something to do. So there was no time to read. Although we would sometimes look through funny books, like, that came in and be like, oh, let's just, like, see, you know, what's going on here. So, like, we would read things, you know, for fun, but not, like, actual reading.
That
would have been nice. I mean, that's the dream. If that's what working in a bookstore was, then yes, I would miss it.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I think it's time for a haul.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I have two books. You have two books. So let's go back and forth, baby.
Okay.
The first one I have is Feel Good Productivity by Ali Abdaal. Ooh. You will remember I'm currently doing the audiobook of this, but I'm really enjoying it and I wanted a physical version. I also kind of wanted to support him because he was trying to, because he's like a YouTuber, right?
Right.
And I have a real brotherhood with my YouTube buddies, but he look at the top. It says the world's most followed productivity expert.
That's
because of YouTube. He was trying to get a lot of people to buy the book in the first week, obviously, because as you and I know, first week sales and pre-orders all count towards your first week sales. So, and that's what depends if you get the New York Times or the Sunday bestseller list, all of those lists. He was trying to crack it and he did it, which I think is really lovely. So officially he's a Sunday Times bestseller or a Sunday, what is that? List?
No,
it's the UK list. I think he might also be in the New York Times one, but
that's awesome.
I'm very happy for him. The thing is, I'm really enjoying this book. I'm listening to it on audiobook and I wanted the physical version because I'm enjoying it so much that I'm going to be recommending this book to my dad, to my boyfriend, to my brother, to everyone who I can make read it. Yeah. I think they will all get a lot out of it too. And obviously you can't really share audiobooks as easy.
Yeah.
So I just want to like have this to hand to people.
Smart.
The last time I felt like doing that with a book was True Grit. And I did get my dad to read it, which was really fun.
I actually got one of my friends to read it. I forgot to tell you.
Oh, really?
I gave it to Rebecca for Christmas and she read it and liked it.
She liked it?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. That makes up for you not liking it.
I liked it okay. I just didn't love it.
All right. What about you? What's your first one?
Well, I'm going to do both because they actually go together.
Oh, okay.
So I got a call from my local used bookstore. My buddies over there. And they had found two books that were very exciting for me because it completes a little collection of mine. And that is the Dark Tower books. I now have... this is Stephen King's Dark Tower series. I now have book 5 and book 6, which are Wolves of the Cala and Song of Susanna. So I've kind of been getting a smattering of these books just every now and then. I've been looking for the specific nice new editions that they have, and they're very hard to find. I finally have them now. So that was very exciting. I now have both of those. So now I'm feeling the pressure to read the series now, though, that I have all of them. Like, because before I was like, well, I only have books 1, 2, 3, and 7 or whatever it was. So it was like, I'm not going to start this series now. But now
that
would
be ridiculous.
Now I have no excuse. However, I don't think they fit into, like, they don't align with my 2024 goals. So I think I'm going to think about that for next year.
Later.
I think that'll be my Stephen King-a-thon year. But the other thing I wanted to mention that was like, a devastating moment for me when I went to go pick up these books. They also had told me that they found a copy of American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis, which is probably the book I want most right now because I've just like hyped about it. And I showed up. It was a really cool looking copy. So cool, in fact, that I was like, there's no way this is in English. And I flipped through it. It was in French.
No way.
That was so sad.
That's so sad.
I know.
They didn't realize that?
No. See, if it was me working in the bookstore, I would have noticed that. Because you flip through the books when you take them in.
But flip through them.
It's okay. It's fine. But now I'm just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to find a used copy. For some reason, it's very hard to find. I thought it was going to be at every thrift store, but I have not been able to find it. So that's my current sadness I thought I would share.
Damn. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, speaking of series, I got the Scott Pilgrim manga series.
Amazing.
So I know. I'm very confused about Scott Pilgrim. On the back, it says the original graphic novels, but I thought they were manga. It's one of those things.
I would say they're graphic novels. They're like the books themselves are shaped like manga. They're not. You don't read them backwards like you do with manga. Oh, like it is okay. American style manga, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
Okay.
Because they are like little books. They're not like they're not in color. They don't have glossy pages. You know what I mean? Like they're not really comics, but they kind of are. It's it is confusing.
Ooh, this is kind of like a fake little sleeve.
Fake out.
That's funny. So I've got all six of them, and this was actually a gift from Connor.
Ah,
so he had bought them for me before Christmas, but they just didn't arrive in time, and he handed them to me afterwards.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Ron. But yeah. But yeah, so they, here we have them. I have them all now. And part of the reason he thought to buy them for me was because we just finished, well, it was a while ago now, but we had just finished watching the new show version, and he thought I would enjoy reading them, which
Have you ever read those? You've never read them?
No, I've read the first one.
Okay. I read the first two, I think, like a decade ago. And
my brother owns the first one in the full color version.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, those are cool.
So I read that and I enjoyed it. And so I would really like to read all of them.
That is so cool.
It's really nice.
You're making me want to get a series of comics or something. That sounds fun.
I know, right? Does sound fun.
I'm going to get so jealous of all your book hauls this year because I'm really trying not to increase my TBR if possible, my physical TBR, because I'm reading less books. So I have to be like extra stingy.
I feel a little bit like I'm going to be a little extra stingy this year because all my money needs to go to the bookmobile.
That's true.
So we're going to see. I do know I will have a big haul coming up at the end of January, or probably it'll be the first episode of February, because as you know, it's our anniversary and we always go to Lunenburg and I always go to the bookshops and I always buy way too many books because Connor buys them for me. And I'm like, and this one.
That's what boyfriends anyways, are for.
That is, that's going to happen. But other than that, I don't, like already I haven't really bought any books this year.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
I will say, I mean, because like, for example, I bought, the two books I've bought so far that I can think of is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up and Feel Good Productivity.
Which you're those already reading.
Those are books that I'm currently reading and I just want physical versions for my
shelves.
That's
interesting. That's very interesting.
I know. It's a fascinating time in our lives, really. What is the line from Fight Club? You've met me at a very interesting time in my life. Such a good line. All right. Well, how about we take a little visit to the mailroom. All right. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, this is a new segment we're trying out and we're currently really enjoying. And it is highlighting some of the fun comments that we get from you guys in all sorts of different places. So, Raylene, you start us off with comments from Discord and Patreon.
You bet. I'm actually going to start with an unusual one. It's a comment from Instagram that was forwarded to us by our buddy Kaylee, who does our social media. This was so cute. So we got this from Jacqueline on Instagram, who sent us a little message and a photo. It just says this. Hey, just wanted to share that we met through the podcast Discord in 2021, became friends, and actually met. Thanks for being awesome and bringing us together. And it's a photo of Jacqueline with a friend whose name I think is Val. And that is just so cute.
It's too beautiful.
I love
it's
it.
It's too beautiful.
I love it. That is like the perfect, you know, the podcast is bringing people together, and
that's so
what we want.
Beautiful.
So
we love that stuff.
Love that. We really do. Like, send it all our way. We're obsessed with
it's
that kind of
so
thing.
It's so heartwarming.
Yeah. All right, now I've got an assortment of comments that are just from Patreon and Discord, all kind of intertwingled, as you said once.
Intertwingled.
Yeah, intertwingled. So this first bit is actually a couple pieces of book news, which I thought was exciting. So these are from Darth Bibliophiles on our Discord, who says, Sayaka Murata just posted something about she's going to a writer-in-residence thing for 6 months, and she's writing a novel. So Sayaka Murata is working on a new novel, which is very exciting. But obviously no news on like when that's going to happen. But this one's very interesting. Apparently, in July, there's going to be a novel coming out called The Book of Elsewhere, and it is by Keanu Reeves and China Mieville. What? What is that all about?
Keanu!
Keanu! What are you doing?
We love Keanu, but I am confused.
So that'll be interesting. That's very interesting. I haven't really looked into it too much, but it looks like it might be a sci-fi book, probably. If China Mieville is involved, it's probably sci-fi. Okay.
There's an article from Yahoo News from... I didn't know Yahoo was still alive, that's but here funny. It is. It says, this is from January 4th, literally yesterday. Oh. Keanu Reeves announces new career move away from film. Keanu Reeves has announced a new career move away from film with the news that he has co-written his first novel.
So intriguing.
So co-written is different than ghostwritten.
Yeah, they wrote it together. Somehow. So that's a little bit of news that we're confused by, and maybe we'll keep everyone apprised of that as it develops. So we got a comment from Stacey that was on our last episode, where in the mailroom section you were telling us the story about your two copies of The Secret Life of Bees. And yes. Stacey has responded to that by saying that she thinks the not as nice copy should be the first book for your book truck, which I thought was a cute little idea. Oh,
that's a really cute idea.
If you feel like not having two copies anymore, that is a solid way to get rid of it. Can you imagine if your book truck was just filled with like cast-offs from your own shelves? It was just the books you didn't want anymore?
I should have a segment or a section on the truck that has that, yeah.
These are Ariel personal books. Okay, this one was really cute. This came from Emma Jane, who posted this in the Hobbies Discord. And she has made a 2023 reading scarf, which I was confused by and didn't know what that meant. It's 10 feet and 7 inches long, and it's just made up of three colors in varying different chunks. And somebody asked, what is a reading scarf? Like, what does that mean? And she explains, each stripe represents a book that I read during the year. Dark green is 4.7 or 5 stars. Brown is 4 or 4.5 stars. And grayish is anything under 4 stars. And then there's one stripe of a lighter green, which is the only full 10 out of 10 book, which was a reread of The Book Thief. So it's like in order, and you can do it in so many different ways. Like it made me inspired, like, how would I do a reading scarf? Like each color can mean something different, and like how big the chunks are can mean something different. So I thought that was a really cool idea. I wanted to share that.
That's a really cool idea. I've seen that. Have you seen like temperature blankets?
Yes, I know. I really want to crochet a blanket, and that's the one that I keep thinking of, but I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I do like the idea.
It's cool. For anyone who hasn't heard of that, it's basically very similar to the scarf. It's dependent on the temperature it was that day. I think it's every day in
this
case.
It's a daily blanket, basically. Yeah. You do one row every day with the color.
So depending on the temperature, you go like, okay, it was really hot, and at that temperature you do red, or if it was warm you do orange, or if it was cold you do blue, and so you have the like temperature of the year throughout your blanket. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Imagine the whole blanket is just red. You're like, oh,
you live in Honduras.
Something scary happened this year. Okay. Oh, this is another little bit of book news. So Laura posted this on our Patreon. Apparently Audible, which is unfortunate that it's Audible, but they're doing an original audiobook of 1984. And it seems like it might be full cast, because she mentions the cast as well. So she says it might be worth getting a new email for a free trial in April when that comes out. So just a little shout out for anyone who might want to listen to 1984, because you just read Animal Farm. So that could be a good follow up.
Right.
And our final one is actually on the topic of your Animal Farm audiobook. So there have been lots of great comments on the post that you put on Patreon. But Haley says it best here. Holy shit, you guys, this was incredible. I'm speechless. CJ's music made this production so spooky in the best way. I got chills, and this was truly one of the best audiobooks I've ever read. I binged this while sitting in the sunshine at my favorite brewery, and this will now be one of my favorite 2024 bookish memories. Thank you.
Wow.
I thought that was really nice.
I think I sent that comment too as well, or I sent it to CJ for sure, because I was like, look, people really like the music in it.
It's so sweet.
I love that. That is so sweet. That's really cool. Thank you, Haley. I'm so glad you liked it. There's a comment left on the audiobook post from a teacher who was like, would it be okay if I played this for my class?
Oh my gosh.
Because we're going to be doing Animal Farm this year. And I was like, yes. Email me, because there is a moment in chapter 9 while I'm crying where I also swear. I will send you a version that doesn't have the swearing in it. And she has emailed me, and I will be sending that over to her.
Oh my gosh, so there's going to be a class of students listening to your voice, reading Animal Farm.
Isn't that so funny?
Look, wow.
That's so funny.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, it's wild. All right, so I got some comments skimmed from our last episode's comment section on YouTube. Mm. So this first one comes from Angry Little Dumpling. Ariel, have you been to Hay on Wye in Wales? It's a small town known for all of its used bookstores. Ooh. They even have an international book festival every year. You could easily rent a cute little cottage to do all of your reading, but also enjoy the town, even if you don't go for the festival, because honestly, it's quite busy and crowded. Plus, Wales is just a completely beautiful country and wonderful for a quiet getaway. I have heard about Hay on Wye for like a decade. I remember a friend of mine went there and I was like, what is this? Raylene, they have like the most bookshops per space,
oh, yeah,
per capita,
yeah,
or whatever. There's like 100 bookshops in this little town. It's,
oh
not
gosh,
a city. It's like a little town.
I love
bookshops
that.
Beside bookshops.
That's crazy.
Bookshops everywhere you go. Yeah. It sounds amazing. And I would love to go. What's funny is I studied abroad and I lived in England for like a semester when I was studying abroad. And I studied abroad in Birmingham, which is pretty close to Wales. Like as far as England goes, it's pretty close to Wales. Weirdly, though, there was no direct train from Birmingham to Wales. And it was like just so awkward that I had to like take a train really north to then go into Wales,
right,
or really south to then go into Wales, or go like backwards towards London to get a London train to Wales. And like I could never get a reasonably understandable train. So I never have been to Wales, even though I kind of lived very near to it for a while. But I'm dying to go to that little town.
That sounds awesome.
It does seem really, really cool. Okay. I loved this comment. We got a couple of comments about the book truck. And this person said, through her pages, said, oh my God, if Ariel makes a book truck, I will personally fly to the East Coast just to see it. And I like this one because we also got another person was talking about, like, can you two together, like, drive around in the book truck? So what's funny, too, is I don't know how robust the little truck will be. Like, they're not really made to go full. Like, I don't think I can drive it across Canada. But we were talking, you and I were texting the other day about how, like, when you come here the next time, we'll definitely do a meetup with
sure.
the truck. We will for sure be doing a meetup with the truck. So,
my resurgence as a bookseller. It's in our future.
It's coming. You're probably going to come and freak out at how poorly organized I have it, and you'll
fix it all up. I can fix it.
You can fix it. The last comment I grabbed is from Lex is Cardinal. She asks, Raylene, we need a review on Practical Magic from you.
Yes.
I DNF'd that book and feel guilty about it.
Mm.
So, yeah, we remember that you read it, but it came while we were doing a little break or
whatever.
Yeah, it was. So some,
I read it between our like wrap up episode and the beginning of the new year, and I kind of just like counted it as a 2023 read. I didn't want it to be my first book of the year, so I was like, we're just gonna scoop that into the end of 2023.
Yeah.
So I read it because I was borrowing it from a friend. She lent it to me, and I was like, I'll read it eventually. I meant to read it in like around October, but it didn't happen. So read it in December, and I quite liked it actually. When I first saw the movie a couple of years ago, I watched it with the same friend who lent me the book, and neither of us liked it. Like, this is like a cult favorite movie. We thought it was going to be so good, but I just found it to be, I think it was that it was too silly or something like that. Like, I don't really remember. I just remember thinking this, I thought it was going to be more of like a serious kind of like witchy, you know, thing. Like, and there's like a bit of a murder involved, but it was kind of just like, ha ha ha, like just too silly. And so I read the book and I was like, okay, we'll see how this goes. And the book is like, there's not a lot of action, not a lot happens. It's a very kind of like quiet, not a lot of dialogue either. It's mostly just like kind of thoughtfulness. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's nice. Like, it was a really nice book. It was just different from what I thought, because the movie is just like really out there with like Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman just being wacky witch sisters. And in this, it's, I don't know, I feel like it was just like more dialed back than how the movie was presented, and I really liked it. And it's like, you know, about sisterhood, motherhood, womanhood, and like, it was just really good. Yeah, I quite liked it. So I do recommend it, but I can also understand people not liking it, because it's very, like, I usually like dialogue in books, because I like it when characters are interacting with each other and stuff like that. And I feel like there wasn't a ton of that in this book, but I still really liked it. So, yeah. There cool. you go.
Perfect. Well, no, I think that's great because I bet you there are a couple other people who are like, wait, I want to know what you actually thought. So there you go, people.
Yeah.
There's Raylene's thoughts.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of our episode. So everyone, thank you very much for listening and or watching if you're on YouTube land. Mm-hmm. If you want to support the pod and or check out the Animal Farm audiobook, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/booksunbound. And we're now going to go record our mini podcast, which we do every week after the episode, which is a bonus release for the Patreon. And we're going to be doing a new thing this week where mm-hmm. we're answering questions from the patrons because we thought we'd slice these in every so often alongside the movie review episodes. So yeah. We're going to go do that. And we hope you have a great week. Bye.
Bye.